the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South,
it's 7 a.m.
Time to wake up
on Catholic Community Media.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Friday morning. You are tuning your heart to the truth. Well, so are we.
Yeah.
Kathy Smith, along with David Dawson and Damian Collado. Thank goodness it's Friday.
Good morning, guys. I know. It's been a long week.
Okay. It's been a week. I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah, it's full of adventure each and every day, right? That's the way I look at it.
Yes.
Every day is a new day. You start over. If it's going bad, that's what tomorrow's for.
That's right. You hit the refresh button and you're good to go.
That's right. You go. Or you could always pray to St. Louis of Toulouse.
Let's do that.
You want to do that?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's get it started. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Pray for us that we will strive to help the poor and marginalized in our society. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. It doesn't continue.
St. Louis was never a man of many words. It's evident in his prayer.
He never said much.
He was a man of action.
But I'm ready to finish the glory be, and I'm going to be hung up all day long. So anyway.
Oh, no.
I'll finish it at
Dave the, must finish the prayer. Oh, my goodness. We will learn more on our Saint of the Day later on in today's show, but we have some events in our listening area at 10 after. You can find all of these events at our website at ccmedia.live. In 18 minutes, Father Gregory Barras joins us. He's a retired priest in the Diocese of Biloxi, and today we are talking about the Loaves and Fishes Soup Kitchen in the Biloxi area and how we can help those in need along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. In 35 minutes, Dr. Lisa Namikis joins us. She's part of Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. She's a board member and volunteer. Today she's talking about refugee and immigration services. She has a lot of information to talk about today, so looking forward to having Dr. Lisa in the studio with Damian and Dave. And in 48 minutes, Terry Dixon joins us. He's the Director of Communications of the Diocese of Biloxi and editor with the Gulf Pine Catholic newspaper. Today, Terry is going to be giving us an update of what you'll be finding in this week's issue of the Gulf Pine. So looking forward to today's guests. Damian, looking forward to the weather. What do you have for us?
Well, we are going to experience record highs again. At least we're anticipating that. Today through the weekend, 102 is the expected temperature for the next 3 days. No rain or very little chance of rain. Monday, we may see a stray shower pop up as clouds move in into our area, and only a 20% chance of rain at that. Mm. Clouds will bring the temperatures lower, though, with a high of about 97. And the winds are going to pick up when that happens. They'll be blowing out of the east at about 15 to 20 miles an hour. So we'll have a nice warm breeze, if nothing else. Temperatures in and around the area. Home at Thibodaux, it's already 78 degrees. Covington as well as Baton Rouge, both reporting 77-degree temperatures. Biloxi, it's 81. And 83 degrees and heating up fast in the Crescent City. And so those are your temperatures as well as what you can expect for the weekend. Another hot 3 days for sure. So get out there or stay inside.
No, stay in there is what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at that 102 degrees from my window. I'm going to just look out at it because it will be 73.
Go buy a sprinkler system. Let the kids run around, get wet in the front yard, backyard, whatever. Try to enjoy the day. It shouldn't confine you too much if you can help it. A little sweat never hurt anybody. That's the way I look at it.
Okay. Stay hydrated. Wear your sunscreen.
Exactly.
But stay hydrated.
All that stuff.
Okay. Yes. Well, we have the gospel coming up in some events in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. A good Friday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Some Pharisees approached Jesus and tested him, saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any cause whatever?" He said in reply, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh?' So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, man must not separate." They said to him, "Then why did Moses command that the man give the woman a bill of divorce and dismiss her?" He said to them, "Because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning it was not so. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, and marries another, commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If that is the case of a man with his wife, it is better not to marry." He answered, "Not all can accept this word, but only those to whom that is granted. Some are incapable of marriage because they were born so, some because they were made so by others, some because they have renounced marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. Whoever can accept this ought to accept it." We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
In today's gospel, St. Matthew dramatically contrasts the crowds who followed Jesus to be healed by him and the Pharisees who came to Jesus in order to test, that is, to trap him. Because Jesus was in the territory ruled by Herod Antipas, who murdered John the Baptist, because of this saint's outspoken condemnation of Herod's unlawful marriage, they hoped that they might trap Jesus into offending Herod. If not, perhaps they could discredit Jesus with the people for rejecting the law given to Moses. And so the question is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Now, the union of marriage is the sublime earthly illumination of the relationship between God and Israel, God and mankind, God and the church. Every marriage is also a reflection of the relationship of God and his favorite creature, man. So what is at stake in the question of divorce is God's intention in creating men and women in a relationship that reflects God's own interior being as self-sacrificing love as well as human dignity and destiny. Marriage is intended to image God's pledge of fidelity, friendship, and the aid that spouses are called to give one another. Drawing on the nuptial theme of God's relationship with humans, St. Bernard of Clairvaux called the incarnation, the divine word becoming man, the permanent marital kiss by which God seals the eternal union with mankind. In the attempt to test Jesus about the nature of marriage, the Pharisees were challenging him about the credibility of his role as the mediator between God and man, and about the wisdom of the Father's plan at the creation to have the relationship between a man and a woman reflect God's own deepest nature as ever faithful lovers. This understanding is also challenged in the modern twisted distortions of marriage. The bottom line is this: there is no compatibility between the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. The reign of Christ is a life of pure gift poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which unites, redeems sinners all into one single holy family. And because marriage reflects this reality, a valid marriage can never be divorced. What God has bound together, let not man put asunder. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Jimmy, and thank you, Father Chris Decker. 11 after the hour on this Friday morning, and good morning it is. And Damian Collado, Gabby Smith, David Dawson, all with you. And we appreciate you also watching on Catholic Life Television this morning in Baton Rouge. Some events we want to share with you before the weekend gets here. After a loss by suicide, you know, individuals and communities are often unsure of how to react and support those who are grieving. Well, you can join Counselor Katie Zylix and Ignatian-trained Spiritual Director Becky Eldridge for this presentation of practical ways to offer healing and hope in the wake of a suicide loss. You'll leave with tools from both the mental and health as well as spiritual perspectives to be able to better support those you care about. There's going to be two talks. So you can go Wednesday evening, that's August 30th from 6 to 8 p.m., and Thursday morning, August 31st from 9 to 11 a.m. at St. Aloysius Catholic Church in Baton Rouge. Now, I know that was a lot, but you can go to ccmedia.live and get all the details. But again, if you know someone suffering from a loved one who died due to suicide, this is the place to go.
Mm-hmm. Right. Christ in the City, the monthly Holy Hour for NOLA Catholic young adults, returns on Tuesday, August the 22nd at 7 p.m. at St. Francis of Assisi Church. That's on 631 State Street in New Orleans. Young adults between the ages of 18 and 39. Damien, you just made it out of that. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
can't attend. Yeah. I'm going to have to miss it.
Yep. Are invited to come for Eucharistic adoration, and can't recommend that enough. And you have the opportunity to receive the sacrament of reconciliation and get to know other young adults at the social to follow in the St. Francis Rectory.
Yes, I highly recommend taking a look at the Christ in the City. I love Christ in the City, so been many times, and it's just a wonderful way to gather for young adults. All are welcome to lift up a joyful noise at the annual Gospel Music Festival. And I think I'm frozen. I keep looking down.
Yeah, looks like you're permanently looking down.
So I'm actually reading
down.
The event.
Yes.
I'm just reading this event.
We'll move on. You're back.
Here we go.
Well, okay.
I decided to pay attention. We're going to go with it.
That's right. No,
all
the radio,
are welcome.
On the radio, nobody cares, so
that's
it's okay.
Right.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So for those listening on the radio, my screen is frozen, but all are welcome to lift up a joyful noise at the annual Gospel Music Festival sponsored by the Archdiocesan Office of Black Catholic Ministries. This year, the festival has been renamed the Bishop Ferdinand Cherie III Gospel Music Festival, featuring local gospel choirs. Plan to attend on September 16th at the Carver Theater at 6 p.m. The price of admission is non-perishable food items that will be collected for Second Harvest Food Bank. You can go to ccmedia.live. For details.
Okay. Last but not least, the Rescue Project seeks to proclaim the gospel and the good news of Jesus's freeing us from the power of sin and death in a compelling and attractive way over 8 weeks, and including a half-day mini retreat. It's group discussion, all based on Father John Ricardo taking a deep dive into the gospel message. If you want to learn more, go to St. Catherine of Siena Church in Metairie. It's going to be held beginning August 23rd. You'll find the details at ccmedia.live.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for August 18th. Today we celebrate St. Louis of Toulouse. Though born into a royal family, Louis showed an early interest in the corporal works of mercy. As a child, he took food from the castle to feed the poor. He progressed in his spiritual life and his studies under the tutelage of Franciscan friars. At 20, Louis renounced his royal title and declared his desire to become a priest. Soon after his ordination, he was appointed Bishop of Toulouse, but he asked to become a Franciscan first. The Franciscan spirit pervaded Louis. "Jesus Christ is all my riches. He alone is sufficient for me," he said repeatedly. Like St. Francis, he developed a special love for those afflicted with leprosy. He even assigned a Franciscan to offer him correction in public if necessary, and that friar did his job. Louis's service to his diocese was well received, and in no time he was considered a saint. As bishop, he set aside 75% of his income to feed the poor and maintain churches. Each day he welcomed 25 poor people to share food with him. Louis died in 1297 at age 23 and was canonized 20 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson along with Damian Collado, and we have a guest in studio with us today. Oh, I'm sorry. Gabby Smith is in Bay St. Louis. Hey, Gabby, you can wave. There we go. For those on the radio, she's waving. So there we go. We got Dr. Lisa Namikas. Am I saying that right, doctor?
Yes, you are.
Great. From Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Baton Rouge. You're also a board member of the Catholic Charities. I'm going to brag on you a little bit here, too, because last year, 2022, you were the Volunteer of the Year. This is in the United States. This is of the whole country, Catholic Charities. That is quite the...
Such an honor.
That is quite the feat. Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty amazing thing that you did there. Now, this is all because of the work that you have been doing, and you have been doing this mostly with working with refugees?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Actually, volunteering with refugees.
Volunteering with refugees. Okay. How long have you been doing this?
6 years, I believe it is now.
Is that right? So, mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you're also a teacher,
if I'm not mistaken. Yes, I teach history, world history at Baton Rouge Community College.
Baton Rouge Community College, you do that too. So, what brought you into working with refugees? How did that evolve?
Well, I think it evolved over a lot... quite a while, but just the nature of my life, I moved around a lot.
Oh, did
and
you?
So I'm originally from Canada, and you know, just coming to the United States and having to learn all sorts of new systems, even though my language is the same, of course,
yeah.
here, speaking English, it's, yeah. you know, things are so different. So I just always, you know, kind of watched other people trying to do what I was doing and realized that, you know, they were struggling a little bit more if there was a language barrier or if it was a different culture. And so I just got interested in helping out.
In helping out folks. Now, do you have a... specialty area, of folks who are coming in? I mean, is it like from South America? Is it from overseas? You know, the people that you work with.
I can't really say there's a specialty area. I think we would work with anybody.
Anybody who comes in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, is there a higher volume of a certain refugee right now going on?
Well, of course, we had the Afghan people come in.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, and then there were some Ukrainians. They're not coming in technically as refugees, but we are still providing some minimal help as they arrive with, resettling and just particularly learning English. And then there's a trickle coming in from South America these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how does that work? I mean, these people are coming in totally... probably not speaking the language, not having a clue about the culture, right? I mean,
there's quite a variety of people that are coming in.
Okay,
so
good.
some might be highly educated doctors in their, you know, home country
and need
to flee and have, you know, a good understanding of English and you'll be ready to go. And then, of course, others you go right on down the spectrum to, you know, never having read or written in their native language.
Yeah.
Right? So, it varies.
Are we talking entire families here, individuals, both?
Both.
It's both. Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So what are your first steps when somebody comes in? They come in to you, or is that how that works? They contact Catholic Charities and say, hey, we need help here, or how does that work?
No, the Catholic Charities would accept a certain number of refugees or special immigrants or, whoever's coming, parolees, whoever's coming in. The UCCSB, the Conference on Bishops, would be the one that manages that. I'm not on that, and I volunteer, right? So
okay,
that's not my side. So they would just accept the number of refugees that were approved to come
through here,
by the State Department ultimately.
Okay.
And then... depending on what we can handle, we would accept that many, and then they would be picked up at the airport, and things would go from there. And that's where I kind of jump in.
Oh, is that right? Okay, so I'm just taking that procedure in. They're picked up at the airport, and they're brought, I guess,
to a furnished apartment.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So yeah, we want to bring them to a place where they feel safe right away.
Yeah.
So there will be an apartment there that's furnished with enough food for a week, and a welcoming place. A meal will be there ready for them when they arrive, no matter if it's 2 o'clock in the morning or 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh wow! So when they come in. Fully furnished apartment, and sometimes it's family. Some, like you say, it could be individuals, I'm sure those situations are all different. Then you said they're good to go for a week, but you're not just dropping them off at this place and saying good luck.
No, okay. Of course not. So they will go into Catholic Charities for cultural orientation and, you know, paperwork for
there is. Right.
So there would be, you know, at least a couple weeks of pretty intensive work with the refugee family or the immigrant. And even at that point, I am not so much involved as a volunteer. That's sort of the Catholic Charities employees have their, you know, things they need to do to make sure that everything is processed properly.
Sure.
And then once the person does have that basic cultural orientation and is a little familiar with the city.
Yeah.
That's when volunteers can really help pick up. So, you know, refugees, of course, they don't have cars or transportation.
Right.
You know,
so how has that worked out?
That, you know, it is one of the challenges, but we do have some amazing volunteers who will drive our people around to the places, the doctor's offices or just the English language or cultural orientation that they need to be at.
My goodness.
Even just show them the city. It's hard to see. So that's really when volunteers can, come in and make a difference, right? Because the office can only do so much because they only have so many resources and time.
Right.
And so then volunteers can come in and
I was about to ask you as a volunteer, what is the role of a volunteer when it comes to refugees?
Well, there's just, you know, there's so many different roles. It varies. It depends on what your talents are, what you want to do, and what the needs are at the time. Sometimes it's just a matter of waiting. But, we can do anything from driving clients to where they need to be. We can participate in English language programs and help them on an individual level or in a class setting, either in person or online.
Okay.
So even, you can volunteer online. And then there is simply, helping gather and collect some of the things that a refugee family
that
might
need.
So, for instance, I know right now things like towels and sheets and, particularly given all of our sanitation needs after COVID, we're kind of asking for newer items and new items. And so even if you have like a mom's group or, a group that you go once a week to or once a month to, and you want to have a little service project with Thanksgiving coming up or whatever it is, you can volunteer that way and just, maybe collect some of the things that, particularly
Dr. Lisa,
you would need.
Gabby's got
a
question.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What inspired you to work with refugees? These people are leaving everything from a country that they have probably known their entire lives to a place that they know nothing about, most likely. This is terrifying for them, and actually something that's actually really brave. So what was your inspiration to want to help these people and make sure that they come to a country like the United States and seek peace for their family?
Mm-hmm. Well, aside of to my experience watching immigrants come, I guess just the inspiration that they leave with me and with my family. Oftentimes I volunteer. I've always sort of volunteered with my kids and kind of participated as a family. Mm-hmm. I guess the inspiration that they just instill in one, just watching their strength, like you said, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So they've left behind everything. Oftentimes the culture is new here, but we forget the culture that they're leaving is their culture. It's their home.
Right.
So it's hard for them, and oftentimes they don't want to leave, and they miss their culture terribly. And so just talking with them, I think, even just about their culture and, what they're doing, as long as they're open and willing, and some people would rather not, so I always try to respect the boundaries. But just seeing what they go through and, just the inspiration that they offer other people is amazing, really.
I bet. Have you picked them up at the airport before?
Yes.
I can only imagine.
Usually there's a group of people that go. It's not just one person, but there'd be three or four people that would go.
The folks coming in off the plane, they got to be a little uneasy and this is all new and everything.
Literally, they will be carrying a bag that says IOM on the outside of it. They might not know how to speak English. They don't know who's going to pick them up.
Wow.
Do you at least know the countries that they're coming from so you can possibly have an interpreter with you?
Yes. The interpreter, and then for the food supply, too. I mean, we want to give something that they would like
similar
to eat.
Good point. Mm-hmm.
But volunteers, I would think there's a strong need for volunteers in the interpretation or those who are interpreters possibly can speak their language. Is that a need that you guys have? And if so, how do y'all go about even seeking one? Let's just say I don't know what Swahili. I mean,
right, I know.
You know, they come in and
Catholic
it's
Charities
like,
has a lot of contacts.
They do. Okay.
So they would, you know, they would start. There's a number of people that they can call and rely on, including Swahili.
Damien might know some. That's why I was like,
I went to school with a girl who knew Swahili.
Oh, wow.
So that's our connection. So we let you know.
Gabby, we're putting you to work. But you know, you have other items that you need too. Let's talk about that. What are y'all in need of right now to help these folks out?
Furniture, would small furniture for smaller apartments.
Okay.
I'd like to emphasize. And then the, like I said, the sheets and towels, but also like personal items as well. So toothbrush, toothpaste, hair combs, and things like that.
Okay.
Again, we're asking for new because of the sanitation.
Right. Stuff, stuff that you would actually move somebody into an apartment to get them living first, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how, where did they contact you or how do they
do
this?
Oh, they go to the website, ccdiobr.org.
Okay.
And if you want to volunteer with clients, then there's forms and background checks you would need to fill out that first. But then otherwise, if you're doing donations and collections, then, you know, contact somebody and...
You do. There you go.
There you go.
Well, it's Dr. Lisa Namikas, thank you for joining us. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to meet you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. When we come back, well, there's a lot more going on Wake Up. It's the bottom of the hour. Thirty-five past the hour. You're tuning your heart to the truth. I'm David Dawson, along with Gabby Smith and Damien Collado. And once again, we're going to continue our conversation. We're having a little difficulty getting a hold of one of our guests on the phone, so we're going to continue our conversation, which is fascinating, with Dr. Lisa Namikas. She's with Catholic Charities of Baton Rouge, and we've been talking about refugees and the needs and the folks coming into town and all the things that they do to help them get started and get their life going again. And while we were talking, you know, during the break, we were talking amongst ourselves. We were talking about you. Well, you weren't a refugee, but you were coming into the United States, and we were talking about all of that. When did that take place for you?
When did I come into the United States?
Yep.
Oh, gosh, 1990.
And how old were you then?
Oh, my gosh. 20.
Yeah, wait a minute.
She's a woman.
You know, you're right.
Okay.
She would not have, you can refrain from answering that.
Say you were 12.
I think the question is,
oh my gosh,
what brought you to the United States in that regard? And then when did you become a citizen?
So I came to the United States with my husband. He was here studying, and so I came a couple years after him. We were studying at the Rutgers University, and then we decided to continue our education and went to the University of Southern California and decided to stay at that point. And so I became a citizen in Los Angeles.
Yeah, so she wasn't a kid. That's all I was saying. Were you a kid or were you an adult? That's what I wanted to know. Anyway.
Well, Dr. Namikas, you know, we were talking about families coming in and not having much. Catholic Charities provides a fully furnished apartment and supplies just to get them started. But one of the things that we might not think about are the youth and the children. Is there anything particularly set aside for children to maybe get them accustomed to moving to a new country? And how does Catholic Charities go about that?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked that question. Oh, thank you so much. Yes, there's absolutely a lot of things that are necessary. And so actually, too, we'll go back to volunteers. And that's another area where if you are able to work with children, we're looking for volunteers for youth mentoring, absolutely. Getting kids ready for school is incredibly important. Yeah. So uniforms, shoes, and then just helping them with English language, which is, you know, something a little different than helping an adult who's looking for a job with English language.
Ah.
And so, and just getting them accustomed to school and being a resource for them. So, you know, if they can ask the silly questions that they might not want to ask their teacher, or, you know, they might not know who to ask. You know, oftentimes I've spent time just calling, okay, a holiday is coming up or a school holiday is coming up, and they're not going to know because they don't understand the English language message that they would have received on the phone, you know, announcing that tomorrow was a holiday. So I just make sure I call them up and say, okay, hey, don't go out for the bus tomorrow. It's not coming.
Oh,
so,
really? Okay.
So just, you know, everything. But yes, youth, helping youth and just, you know, helping with school supplies, backpacks, you know, you name it. Absolutely that's something that we are focusing on quite a bit this year. That's been an area of development, really, at Catholic Charities, and so I'm proud of that.
Okay, so school supplies and backpacks for the kids. Mm-hmm. Toys, things like that?
Yeah, you know, most kids that come don't really have a lot of toys and never really play with a lot of toys, so some of our toys might be a little confusing for them. I would honestly say the parents probably prefer, you know, simple toys. We don't really, supply electronics or anything like that. Oh. So, you know, if the child is younger, of course, some learning toys and simpler toys, balls especially, you know, games you can play outside and things like that. Mm-hmm. Those are the more successful ones.
Okay. And then how about clothing?
Yes, clothing too. School supplies or school clothes are something that, you know, we do.
Oh, that's true. School uniforms.
And, you know, we try to buy them new these days. Just we haven't always in the past, but I believe the push is just to try to get some newer items so that, you know, they're sanitary.
Do you work with other organizations like St. Vincent de Paul in particular? It sounds like a lot of what they do
can
fulfill
right.
some mm-hmm, of the needs mm-hmm, mm-hmm. in regards
yeah.
to that.
Yeah, again, the office is in touch with all sorts of organizations around the city. Mm-hmm. So that's, of course, I will help with that.
Sure.
But they absolutely.
Give us a success story or two, if you can, of a recent family maybe, mm-hmm. and maybe an individual that you could share for our listeners. So they can kind of get a feel for what takes place once they are here from their viewpoint, if that makes any sense.
Okay. So I have one family. I won't include the name it's an Afghan family that
or
came.
Or ages in Dave's case.
Yeah. Hey, okay. I want their ages.
For my case.
Okay.
So there was an Afghan family that came actually 5 or 6 years ago as a special immigrant, so before the wave.
Okay.
But they came and the father knew a little bit of English, but the mother and the two children did not know any English at all. And they were in an apartment, you know, rent in Baton Rouge is pretty expensive.
Yeah.
And so when people come, again, they might have skills. This person was a computer science educated and couldn't, you know, really find work as a different language and the differences in the computer systems and whatnot. And so, you know, he ended up working in gas stores and gas station stores or just smaller stores.
Okay.
And his family was at home and the apartment was, you know, something where they, I'm not sure how comfortable they were. They were Muslim, of course, and they just really, you know, it was a bit uncertain for them. And so just making sure that we were there for them and, you know, they knew that they could call on us. And then watching the father, you know, look for work and, you know, sort of find a more stable employment and then, you know, move to a place where there was, you know, a bus for the children. And
right.
Where it was, you know, where it was easier to live. You know, just watching them go through that whole process and, you know, just again, helping the kids go through all of the different cultural stages that we go through with Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, of course, with a Muslim background, you know, they're just thrown into it.
No, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So, you know, it's just letting them know that if they have any questions, again, that, you know, you're a safe person that they can talk to.
So watching them go through the entire process and then get the get themselves established and functioning, right?
Yeah, and then, you know, finding friends and, you know, building their life. And, you know, then the kids learning English so quickly, how kids learn, you know.
Oh, isn't that amazing?
And then they do so well in school. And then, of course, their parents are so proud because, they work so hard for that.
Mm-hmm. How long a process is that?
A couple of years.
It is.
I would say at least minimum.
Okay.
Minimum.
Yeah, just for them to get.
What humility, though, for that family, you know, to take many steps back.
Yeah.
Him to take on any kind of job he could get or at least be able to function. Mm-hmm. Despite his education and his knowledge.
The first thing he tells me is he does it for his family and his kids.
Sure.
Has he
gotten to the point, I don't know if you've stayed in touch, but to where he is now, can he be is he a computer programmer now? Did he ever find
He's working with IT, not in Louisiana anymore, but yes. Absolutely doing well, you know, going on vacations and, you know, kids are doing well in school. And,
kidding.
I thought you might have said, hey, he owns 15 7-Elevens now.
If he's in IT, he could be, you know. I mean, because there's such a demand for people like that. I think it was only a matter of time before he got himself.
Just needs one break, right?
So they're not in the area anymore. They have moved?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But that's a great success story.
That is a wonderful story, but we only have about a minute left. Can you tell our listeners some volunteer opportunities that they can help with Catholic Charities?
So for volunteer opportunities, go to the website, ccdiobr.org. And if you want to work with clients, there is an application process, but you can do all sorts of things, and including transportation. And I'm going to say, along with that, that's building friendships too, because it's you spend a lot of time in the car talking and whatnot. Yeah. So, and it's nice, or simply helping the person look for work if they need to, or go shopping, do all sorts, or bring them anywhere around the city, introduce them to the library. There's all sorts of things volunteers can do with clients, and then there's all sorts of things, again, like you can do with a group that you might be a part of to collect items that we need: furniture, goods, school supplies, personal items.
Yeah. Will you come and pick up furniture and those type of items, mattresses and things like that?
We do. I'll put a bid in for Crystal. She's incredibly busy with a food program that's expanding. So if you can bring it, it would help a lot. But,
I'm sure your truck space is limited and such, right?
Yes, it is. Okay. But we can pick up.
Okay.
That's good to know, because a lot of folks are listening right now saying, I've been needing to get rid of that bed or something
smaller,
like that.
Smaller items are what we're looking for.
Well, Dr. Lisa, I appreciate you sticking around with us. And plus, it was very enlightening. It's good to know. So we want folks to tune in. We want folks to help with this situation. When we come back, Damien's going to be talking to Terry Dixon. We're going to talk about what's going on the Gulf Coast of Mississippi.
Welcome back to Wake Up. So glad you could be with us this morning. With us now is our friend over in the Biloxi Diocese. He is also the editor of the Gulf Pine newspaper. He's the one and only Terry Dixon. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
And a happy Friday to you, Big Daddy. All right. So what's cooking in the Biloxi Diocese right now? Front page, couldn't help but notice, Pope Francis, World Youth Day. Boy, did he have a lot to say to the youngsters, if you want to call them that, the young people of our world. All those attended the event in Lisbon, Portugal. I believe there was a group of young people from the Biloxi Diocese who attended. Share with us what you know and your thoughts on Pope Francis's comments.
Well, we did have a group of people from primarily St. Clair Parish in Waveland, I think, who went to Portugal for World Youth Day, and we've given them some time to recover from their trip, and they're going to share some of their thoughts and their photos in the September 1st issue of the Gulf Pine Catholic. But we do have coverage of Pope Francis's visit to Lisbon for World Youth Day, and so that's our front page story, and we hope you will enjoy our coverage of World Youth Day. I didn't get a chance to watch much of it, but I'm going to go back and watch some of it online.
Well, I didn't either, but from what I understand, it was a wonderful event. The articles that I did read regarding World Youth Day, it's refreshing. Let's put it that way. A lot of times we discount the fact that, oh, man, our youth, they're a lost generation. But I really think, they're just up and coming and exploring and trying to figure out who Jesus Christ is.
Did you see pictures of how many people were there?
Yes.
1.5
so
million to be exact.
To see that picture, so, and it's many. Like, and you really had to dig for that picture. It wasn't available.
Oh, well, the secular media is not going to cover it. I don't think there was 30 seconds of coverage on any of the secular networks. But
when you got a million,
you're
going
to get it on EWTN, and you're going to get it on this channel this station, as well as all the Catholic radio stations.
Right.
We're reporting it in Catholic newspapers like the Gulf Pine Catholic. So I'm glad it was on the front page, Terry. What else will they find? Go ahead and finish up on that.
I was just going to say, I think his main message was the church is for everyone. We're a welcoming church, we're a loving church, we're a hospitable church, and I think we can't hear that enough.
Mm. Right. Indeed. His message is always about love. I know people question some of the things he says, but it always still comes back to starts with the foundation of love, and I think that's great. Also, One thing that caught my eye was the fact that the official appointments that are going to be taking place for the deaneries in and around the diocese. Share with the folks who are some of the priests who are going to be heading up the deaneries.
So this is basically a set of reappointments. And these men are the vicars forerunner for each deanery. They're the deans of the deanery. They're basically the bishop's go-to guy in each deanery. So he recently reappointed them for a five-year term, and they are Father Mike O'Connor, pastor of Our Lady at Gulf Church in Bay St. Louis, will be in charge of the West Coast Deanery. Father Joe Uko from St. Joseph Parish in Gulfport will be in charge of the Central Coast Deanery. Father Godfrey Ando, the rector of the cathedral, will be the dean for the East Central Coast Deanery. Father Mike Snyder, pastor of St. Alphonsus Parish in Ocean Springs, will be the dean of the East Coast Deanery. And Father Mark Ropel from St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Hattiesburg, near the campus of the University of Southern Mississippi, will be the dean of the Northern Deanery.
Nice. And with that, another article that's worth mentioning is the Supreme Knight, Patrick Kelly. We had some Knights of Columbus on our air not long ago talking about the Supreme Convention in Orlando, but didn't get into all the details that your article touches on. And I love the fact that they focused on, or at least he did in his comments, to men. He challenged the men, in particular the Knights of Columbus, that they have some roles to play. One in particular is defend life, become role models, and their duty to protect. And I think it was great that was spelled out in his talk.
Yes, and they're starting a new program called CORE, C-O-R, which is Latin for heart. I know you know that because you're so well-versed in Latin. But it's for all Catholic men, including non-knights. And what it does is it invites men to delve more deeply and intensely into their faith lives and their relationship with Christ, trying to give men a grounding in their faith so they can be better husbands, better fathers, better Catholics.
And I agree with you 110%. We need that. Read that. What page is that article on? That way when folks pick it up, they can look for it. Do you have that in front of you?
Page 14.
All right. Good. Go to page 14, if nothing else, after you read the front article about the Pope and World Youth Day. I always like to touch on some events, key events taking place in and around the diocese. This is your moment of truth.
Okay, thank you, Big
Good
Daddy.
Luck. Good luck. Yes.
Oh, you guys need to stop that.
I'm little That's daddy. Enough. You're a big daddy.
Oh, my God.
Is this based on age or size or
height?
Okay, so tonight we have a healing mass at 5 o'clock. A healing mass this evening at 5 o'clock at our Mother of Mercy Church in Pass Christiane. That's 5 o'clock. The church is located at 216 Socher Avenue in Pass Christiane. And on August 26th, the SCD Laity of our Mother of Church is hosting Line Dances with the Lord, a scriptural Whoa. Dance party.
Come on.
So again, that's on August 26th. No, I'm serious. It's here. It's in the paper. It can't be wrong.
Well, that's right. It's a moment of truth.
Wow. So,
hey, Line Dancing with the Lord.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So you get out there and you
One
cut a rug.
Up.
And where's this at again?
Boogie, Our Mother of Mercy, Pass Christiane.
Okay. You're going, aren't you?
August 26th.
Damien's
it's
going.
It's got my attention for sure.
Yeah, he's going.
And one other in September, I know we're still about a month away, but the deacon formation, that's going to be coming up. That's important for men who are entertaining the diaconate.
Okay, well, let me just say real quick about the previous item. It's from 11 to 2, and there's a $10 minimum donation at the door.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So, 10 okay. bucks to line dance with the Lord. I like that.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
I don't
Pre-selection information sessions for the permanent diaconate will be held from 8:30 to noon on September 23rd at St. Thomas the Apostle Parish in Long Beach, September 30th at St. Thomas Aquinas Parish in Hattiesburg, and October 14th at St. Mary Parish in Goshen. Again, it's 8:30 to noon. You can see your pastor if you're interested in the permanent diaconate, or you can call Deacon Mike Harris at 228-342-1536.
All right. Terry Dixon, always a pleasure to be with you, brother, and share the information that you have for us in the Diocese of Biloxi. You have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Hey, same to you. Talk to you next time.
All right, Big Daddy. I had to get that
stick
in.
Stick that in. So, yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up with a prayer to St. Jude because we surely need help. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Most holy St. Jude, I invoke you as the special advocate of those who are in trouble and almost without hope. Help me to realize that through our faith we triumph over life's difficulties by the power of Jesus who loves us and gave us his life. Come to my assistance that I may receive the consolation of heaven in all my needs, trials, and suffering. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here Monday at 7 a.m. Central Time. We're talking to Deacon Dave Farinelli over at Catholic Counseling Services in the Archdiocese of New Orleans, Alan Migliorato, and Bishop Michael Duca. Have a wonderful Friday and a great weekend. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Media.